I have to think that when Jesus was on that road carrying that cross, we know he fell. He stumbled because he was beaten to a pulp, deprived of sleep and food, so he had no energy. But I have to think that even when he saw that cross, he could see it on that mount, and he could see our freedom. And that's why he could get back up and why he could carry it, even when he needed help. See, there's nothing wrong with needing help. Where did it come in that we have to carry ourselves? There's not one of us in here who can do it ourselves. We need help all the time. You know, last week when God had told me to pray for people in here who are feeling battle fatigued, you're weary, you're tired of the fight. Little did I know what my week held. As I held a combat vet in crisis for 3 days. Somebody who paid the price that our government said had to be paid. And now they're dealing with things that the government says you shouldn't be dealing with. And they think they have to go it alone because of an embarrassment. It's high time, folks, we quit being stupid. We have to realize we're not in this fight alone. And that's what I conveyed to him. You're not alone. We should never, as the body of Christ, feel like we can't reach out to a brother or sister. Doesn't mean somebody's always got 3 days to give you. It just means you can reach out and listen. I don't know what I can tell them. You don't have to tell them anything. Sometimes they just need to talk. You know, when you eat some bad chicken, what's got to happen? You got to get rid of it. And having had food poisoning from bad chicken, I will tell you, you get rid of it violently and quickly. But we need to remember, we're not alone. The scars that are on the hands of Jesus and on his feet, the wound in his side, all of that was for our freedom. And in this country right now, we can still tell people about Jesus. That's why we're here. We're not here to build great temples. Listen, I'll tell you right now, if the building burned down, we'll meet in my barn. Where you meet does not matter. As I was sharing with you last week, St. Columbo from Ireland, he went over to England to share the gospel because he got kicked out of Ireland he maybe took something a little too far. He thought people were disrespecting. But he met in caves. They met in caves. Well, brother, don't you know that's a cult? You know, if a church starts in somebody's house, well, it's a cult. Well, this one started in our dining room. It's the only place we had. A month later, we were meeting in a little office. I don't knock fellowships that are home. But the problem is they're usually so small, people get lost in thinking that it's just them. I remember when we were so small that it was like, it's just us, God. It's just us. It's not just us. There are believers all around. There are churches with believers in them all around. We got to quit thinking it's just us. You can't carry the load by yourself. And that's what I think I was able to get through to that man. You can't carry it by yourself. I didn't just send him away with a pat and a hug and a card to a counselor. The counselor wouldn't sign his papers until he had a place he could go to talk to somebody. So it was either me or 30 days in a psych ward. So 3 days with me is what he got. But when he left, I told him, I said, you need to understand, when you wake up with those terrors, you wake up and say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I said, that's why the name of Jesus is given to us. Well, you know, we got that precious name, Jesus. You know, what can we do? Move a mountain. Make every demon in hell tremble. Do you know how many people right now are getting busted with drugs in their cars? Because, I know at least this body likes to pray against that stuff. We're taking a stand in the name of Jesus. Don't ever think that just because, all I can do is pray, that's all I'm asking you to do, but I'm asking you to pray in faith, not just saying the Lord's Prayer. That gets me nowhere. It was a form. We'll talk about some things here, but let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are thankful for the scars that do mean freedom in our life. Father, the scars from the whip that he was beaten with, the scars from the nails that held him to that cross, the scar from that spear in his side, the wounds from his beard being pulled out. Lord, I thank you for the freedom. Now, Lord, we present to you today our tithe and offering. Father, receive it as a sweet aroma. May that it be just that, a sweet, sweet aroma to you. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. The littlest one in here was giving me an amen. Jason, did I put a sticker on the machine back here? Okay, I was just making sure. I couldn't remember if I had or not. But you know, folks, I just got to tell you. I hope you realize that, you know, last week we had a great, not that every time we get together with God is a great time. Okay? Every time we come together, we stir up love. That's what we're supposed to be stirring up. Love fuels our faith. Our faith is how we quench the fiery darts of the enemy. See, God knew what he was talking about. Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as is the practice of some. That was roughly 2,000 years ago. And he said, even more as you see the day approaching. Well, folks, I personally see things approaching. We are pushing for that one world government. The Antichrist is raising his ugly head. We see more and more people, well, I don't know why to go to church. I don't want to go to church because I sent my money into that TV preacher and he ran off with some hooker. Did God tell you to give that money? Well, no, but I just thought it was a good thing. No, 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 no. Did God tell you to do it? Or did you give in to your emotions? Yeah, you were responsible. Quit blaming God for your problem. A lot of people don't want to hear that. You know how many problems we create? How many problems do I create for myself sometimes daily? Most of the time it has something to do with this. Right below my nose, between my ears. Sometimes it just needs to shut up. All those things I'm saying, all those words that are going out, they're seeds. And what are bad seeds going to produce? A bad harvest. Have you ever thought of, you know, most of us in here like apples. Just depends on your variety, right? I have to, unfortunately, cut down my apple tree this year because it was diseased. And right now, it's kind of laying in my yard. I cut it down. It's like, well, now I have to deal with it. That was kind of the plan, but it was a little soggy up there. And it might be another month before I can get up there. Do you ever stop and think when you bite into an apple? You know, sometimes you get really zealous biting into an apple, and well, you get part of the core. That's my least favorite. I'm like, man, I got a good apple, and it's like, man, you feel that almost plasticky piece, and you know what you got? You got the seed pod, and so you're spitting a couple seeds out and trying to get that thing out. Did you know you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed? That one seed will grow into a tree. And I'm going to use easy numbers. A couple years later, after the tree has begun to mature a little bit, it'll produce 100 apples. That's very easy to do, because the tree I just cut down was nearly 30 feet tall. Three great big branches. Beautiful in the spring. A couple years, it was just covered in apples. A couple years, not a one. Don't know what happened. We know what Jesus did to a fig tree. It wasn't producing when it was supposed to. He cursed it, killed it. But you get 100 apples. Let's say there's 10 seeds in each one of those apples. Now we start moving. We have 1,000 seeds. Then you multiply that by 100 again. 100,000. Multiply that by another 10 million. You're only two generations out from the original. And the original kept producing. See, our words, they're seeds into people's life. Our actions are seeds into people's lives. The Bible didn't come. Christianity is not about trying to make us do good works. You should do good works regardless. I have a family member that posts that on Facebook. Kind of, I'm not 100% sure if he's agnostic, atheist, what. But then when he started posting some things that I don't know if he knew that was a Christian person, comedian who had said that, and he put their picture. I'm like, isn't that Junior? I don't remember his last name, but he was a comedian. I've seen him on a few of her shows. I'm like, huh. So my praying for this man, he's starting to think like me. He's a little more into Star Wars than I am. But he believes a lot like me. And I'll lay money on it. Somewhere along the line, some religious person professing one thing was living another. See, your actions matter. How you are around people. In here, we're on our best behavior for the most part, right? We try to be good. Yeah. But then we get out there and we go home and... you know, the monster shows up. And we wonder why our kids don't want to serve God. Why they deny that there is even a God. It's not saying that you have to be perfect at home. You need to address some things. And when I have come in my life, you can ask my kids, I'm not perfect. They've seen the Marine a couple times. And when I've either realized it or been called on the carpet about it, I have repented. It's a magic word. You know that, repent? It doesn't mean to say I'm sorry. Did you know that? You're not a sorry person. To repent means to turn away from it. I recognize I did wrong. Saying I'm sorry does not recognize you did wrong. You're just sorry you got caught. Repenting is the key. So when we share God's love with a person, you don't have to dump all the knowledge you got in your brain housing group into them in one sitting. If I wanted to keep you here all day and keep preaching, you would have shut me off with it after the first half hour. I might get to stretch it out to an hour, depending on whether or not I've got you. But if I don't have you, first off, the Holy Spirit's already dealing with me. Hey, listen, Art, but end it. Anything beyond what the Holy Spirit is telling me to speak is my pride, my arrogance. I need you to know what I know. I made my point 20 minutes ago. So when we're talking to people about Jesus, you know, somewhere along the line we've got it in our head that, well, I'm supposed to talk to Tim about Jesus, and in that process of talking to Tim about Jesus, I got to harvest it. The Word says no such thing about that. The Word does not say, "Art, you have to sow the seed and harvest it." Now, many of us in here, we've had gardens. We have farmers. They'll tell you, you plant the seed, you don't turn around and harvest it 5 minutes later. See, in Genesis chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 22, God had said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, day and night, winter and summer, shall not cease. They won't stop. That's seed time and harvest. See, the seed and time are all one thing. You plant the seed. There's time. Right? It takes time. When I plant my next apple tree, it's going to take time for it to actually be able to produce. And seeing how I'm planting a tree and not a seed, I've already gotten to go a little further on that time. But in the end, it's not my responsibility to make sure that the harvest happens. The Bible tells us to pray the Lord of the harvest to send the harvesters. Today, we're still supposed to be sowing seed. That's why I believe it was Paul wrote and said, I sow the seed. Maybe Barnabas waters it. Maybe Peter harvests it. Maybe I'll sow the seed. Maybe my brother Tim will be the one to harvest it. But maybe in between there, they crossed paths with Monica. And Monica got to share how good God is. And that seed got a little bit, some fertilizer. It got some life brought to it. And then it took root and it grew. We're too worried about what people think. Well, how many people have you led to the Lord? Well, let's see. Here's how this actually works. If one person gets led to the Lord into this church by any one person, because we all put into that person, God said, you're getting a harvest too. You know, we all think we got to be Billy Graham, don't we? I want to be Billy Graham. I want to be up there and I want to preach and I want to shout and I want to throw my hands all about, right? First off, Billy Graham didn't start like that. Billy Graham was a heathen. And one day, somebody said, Billy, let me tell you about Jesus. Now, who's the most important person in all those people that Billy prayed with all those years? Who is probably one of the most important people in their life? Billy Graham? He's up there. It's the person that led, the person who sowed the seed into Billy Graham. We don't look at it like that. You know, when I replant my tree, should my house stay in my family? And the Lord tarries for two or three generations. Am I going to get to eat off of that tree? Probably not as much as I'd like to. If I plant an oak, am I going to get to sit under its shade? Probably not. But could my great-grandchildren? Absolutely. See, I have trees planted in my yard. And I have one, it's a sugar maple. That thing turns fiery red in the fall. It's beautiful. With all the yellow from the cottonwoods down the lane, the oranges from the silver maples. That's the only red tree. Anything else that's red on my property is poison ivy. Stay away from it. But when we bought the place, the woman who was living there, her father, her dad, and her daughter, when she was little, planted that tree. And she said, my dad and my daughter planted that tree right there. See, he planted a tree, but there's other people enjoying it. The seed you're sowing does not always benefit you immediately. What if I pass away and I never see the fruition of that seed? It keeps going, folks. Matthew chapter 13. And he spoke to them many things in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. And others fell upon the rocky places where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And others fell upon the good ground and yielded a fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. He that hath ears, let him hear. First off, folks, this is one field. It's not three different fields. It's all the same field. So in other words, it's the same person. The sower that went through was broadcast sowing. That's how they did it back then. Sometimes you'll do that with your yard, right? You'll go out, throw a little handful of seed, get out there. When I was 14, we had a neighbor that he was an old man, and he came over and he said, I'd like to hire you to plant this field behind me with me. I said, all right. Well, first off, always know what you're worth, folks. Even back then, I was really cheap, especially at the end of that 5-hour journey. Because what he wanted, it was about a 10 or 15 acre field. What he wanted was for me to sit on his little wagon. When I say little, it was only about yay long by yay wide, being pulled by a farmall cub. And coincidentally, it was also the vehicle he drove to the store, because after him in a drunken incident with about 12 cop cars, he no longer had a driver's license. I don't think he drank anymore either. But I sat, and I didn't know how we were going to do this. I thought, okay, I just need to monitor something. No. For 5 hours, I sat on the back of that little wagon, my legs dragging, with a canvas bag from 1920, doing this. Big half circles, filling the bag up. That was a long afternoon. It was $10 is what I got out of it. It was after that I realized that was cheap. Really, really cheap. But what I did, I scattered seed. Sure, when we got up against a tree line, there's some went into the thorns. When we got over on the hills that were a little bare because the weather had worn them down, erosion had taken place, there's a lot more stone exposed there, which, by the way, was a great place to find arrowheads, because I did. But then there was that nice level ground where all the topsoil from the hill had run down to. And I planted that seed, same field. And next year, he had a beautiful field of hay. We need to remember, keep sowing the seed. It's not up to us to judge whether a field is good. See, that's what I've heard out of this a lot. People say, well, you need to make sure that the soil's good. It's the same field. See, I'm sure that when my brother first received the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole field wasn't good. Maybe a few thorns, a couple rocks. I know I was when I actually received Jesus as a comprehensive adult. Little rocks, you know, the things I'm holding on to. You know, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the hurts, the scars. Holding on to those things is what choked out the seed. But you see, what happened was there was a spot. He only needed one seed. But there was a spot that was good ground. It was tender. Bitterness hadn't gotten to it. The thorns hadn't gotten to it. The ravens, the turkeys hadn't gotten to it to steal the seed. And because of that one spot, I gave my life back to God. Well, I won't say I gave it back. I gave it to God. Because if for some reason, if I was ever able to take it away, I never fully gave it. See, here's what we do when we, Lord, I'm going to give you my life, but there's a string attached. I don't want to ever get hurt. Well, yeah, you can't do that. You got to give it to God. Because guess what? People are people. Doesn't mean if they intentionally hurt you that it's okay. I've looked in back in my life and people who have intentionally wounded me. And not because I was being a bad person. The first one began when I was 6. That person died within 6 months because of what they did. Next couple guys, the things they said about somebody. The one man lost his livelihood, lost everything. The other one lost his church. And he had to work until the day he died. And he died in his 80s. And he was still having to work because he'd lost it all. When you intentionally attack people, if you wrong somebody with your words, go to them. Repent. If you've maliciously said something to somebody, you still need to repent. And if you've been the recipient of that, you have to forgive. It's my job to forgive. It's not, if Miss Sherry were to wrong me, it's my job to forgive her for me. My unforgiveness, my holding her in unforgiveness isn't hurting her. She doesn't know, and if she did it maliciously, honestly, doesn't care, right? Let's just be honest. But what happens is that becomes a bird, a fowl, that comes along and steals the seed. Because see, you don't know what seeds actually have all been planted. Yeah, there's salvation in the beginning. Today, I'm sowing a seed into you. It's the Word of God. It's about everything that you do being a seed. The people you help, that's a seed. The people that you are genuinely concerned about, or even the people you never met and yet you show concern. Why do you care about me? You don't know me. You're right, I don't. I do it because God loves you. And if God loves you, it means I love you. But that's not what we do. We notch our belt. See, God? See what I did? See all the people I helped today? And I didn't tell you about that vet today to get you, oh, see, look, he notched his belt and he's bragging about it. I really don't care. I'm not here to get trophies. I'm not here to get ribbons and medals. Remember, I'm from the Marine Corps. You don't get ribbons and medals very often. Usually you have to do something serious to get one. You've had to pay a price. And honestly, all I care about is what God says when I stand before Him. He says, look, I was hungry. You fed me. I was naked. You clothed me. I was in bonds, and you freed me. I was alone, and you visited me. See, that's the kind of stuff we should do, period. Pastor, I need to go start a prison ministry? If God is telling you, it's no different than anything else, because I'm going to tell you right now, you had better be strong. There are people I know who have prison ministries. If God's moving on your heart in that area, go and help them. You may not be able to go in with them, but they need some financial support. The state does not give them anything. Help them. I know a man who does that before service on Sundays. He's a pastor and he does that. He goes and preaches at a prison. You better know, make sure that God has told you to do that. You better be doing what God has told you to do, not what you think God told you. You have to know that you know that you know. How will you know? When God's peace is resting upon it. I didn't want to start a church. I really didn't. I just wanted to go. Like, God, can I not just go? I'll be an usher. I'll clean the toilets. It's nothing I haven't ever done before. I've even worked with the kids. I bless you for those of you that work with the kids. That's not an easy row to hoe. But until I said, yes, Lord, I had no peace. When the peace of God rested upon it, when I said yes, It's been a 20-year whirlwind. What a ride. We've seen many, many people touched. People who've moved away and became ministers themselves. People who are still loving on other people because of a seed that was sown. Now let me help you out. Some of you probably got the thistles. You got the thorns. Don't nurture the seed. You nurture that seed whenever you sit alone and you're whining and all boo-hoo-hoo me. This was done to me. I'm not making fun of you. Listen, I will tell you, I could and have told you things that many of you would shudder. And you say, how are you up there telling that? I have no pride. As far as the arrogance, I know who I am and you're not going to convince me otherwise. There's not a one of you in here better than me. And I'm not better than you. We cannot continue going back and giving attention to the seed. Let the sun scorch the seed. And when I say the sun, I mean the S-O-N. Let God's love come in and burn up the seeds of abandonment, the seeds of hatred, loneliness, of betrayal. Let God do that. And I know this sounds like a broken record, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are only so many messages in the Bible. There really are. I always had to, found it amusing, in a sarcastic way, I guess, of people who'd say, well, every time I go to church, I hear the same message. Well, come besides Christmas and Easter. If you will show up some other time, I'm sure you're going to hear a different message beside about Jesus being born or Jesus being crucified. But in the end, it's all really the same message. It's just different presentations. That's what Jesus was trying to tell us when he was given the parables. He was telling stories. We like to hang on stories, don't we? We can remember stories. Even in trying to remember traditions in the Marine Corps, they made up stories for us to remember. How many belt loops we have on our trousers? 7. Guess why? There are 7 C's. And Marines sail on every one of them. Again, I still had not put 2 and 2 together with the Navy yet, that I might end up on a boat. And again, I will tell you, God is so good, I never had to go on a boat. I flew everywhere. I like flying. I ain't afraid of heights, and I love speed. Don't let the seeds that were sown into your life fall victim to scavengers, the things that want to choke out what God is trying to do in you. You have to stand. That's why the Bible tells us, and having done all to stand, stand. Every last one of us in here, maybe, I would hope, I think it's an awesome show, The Grinch. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Well, I don't like Jim Carrey. Well, don't look at him as Jim Carrey. Well, he's all that. I only watch Christian actors. Well, I'm so sorry about what you are falling for. But in the end of The Grinch, when all the gifts are about to go over, and he looks down and he realizes those people didn't need the gifts. They didn't need all the trappings. The joy was in their heart. And he said, maybe it isn't about this. Maybe it isn't about that. And what happened was when he began to have compassion on other people, he found the strength. And all he was doing somewhere along the line, even as the sled was about to pull him over that hill, he found the strength to stand. And that's why Paul was telling us, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand knowing I'm redeemed. Because the devil's going to tell you, you know, you remember your past? Every last one of us remembers our past. Let's get something straight. You get saved, you don't miraculously forget. I haven't been able to. And if you do forget, more than likely you've had a head injury. Because it's not about forgetting. It's about forgiving. There's a line in Narnia that I like. And it's after Aslan is talking with Edward, who betrayed his siblings. And he betrayed them all. He betrayed his friends. And he came back because he had experienced the true witch. And Aslan came down. He says, I have talked to Edward. This matter is done and shall never be talked about again. What he was telling the siblings was, don't bring it up to him. He'll remember it every day of his life. You'll remember it. But don't bring it up. Don't remind him that he betrayed. The only reason I tell you to remember where you came from is so that you remember to be humble. Suddenly, and this is my problem with a lot of preachers, we get up here and we get to preaching, we smell good, we look good, our church looks good, it seems like it's all functioning like a clockwork, but we forget where we came from. We forget we were in the pigsty fighting with the pig for food as well. And let me tell you what, folks, it's only one step back. When you get to thinking that you're better than other people, well, look, you know, I'm redeemed, you know, I'm sophisticated. It's one step on that slippery slope back in. But it's also one step back out. And it's called repentance. There was a king in the Old Testament who got a little arrogant. God sent the prophet and said, you're going to pay. I believe it was 7 years he spent living as a wild beast. He went out of his mind. He wasn't even allowed inside. His hair grew, his nails grew, his beard. He was insane. He ate grass. And until the time was over, and in his heart he had repented, God kept him there. We don't have to follow that footstep, folks. Our seeds, somebody planted good seeds in you. If anybody's trying to divide you, now let's get something straight. Sometimes the truth hurts. You know, my jeans getting a little tight. Well, I can blame that on they're cotton, right? Cotton shrinks. You know, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was 128 pounds. And, you know, I always seemed like I had a little bit of a lip hanging over. And like, I didn't look like I was 128, but I was. The dryer shrunk my pants. They're mainly cotton. It really did. But then, you know, I get a little older, and I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. It's the cotton. My jeans are shrinking. Well, you know what the truth was? The truth was the scale. They said, oh, no, your pants may be doing a little shrinking. you are expanding. Like, I shouldn't be this heavy. You know, my body height, you know, no. If you don't exercise, you know what's going to happen. I always told the little joke about, you know, men, when they get to a certain age, they get the furniture disease. Their chest falls into their drawers. And, well, yeah, it's kind of what's happened. But understand this, folks. The truth will set you free. And honestly, we kind of got down to a point when I was ministering with this vet. He realized it wasn't all everybody else's fault. There were things he thought he had to do which only fueled the demons. The last thing you need to do is withdraw from people. Well, people are all stupid. Yes, we're all stupid, including you. God said it is not good for man to be alone. It doesn't mean just a mate. Two can withstand. Quote this properly. A two-strand cord is hardly broken, but a three-strand is not. In other words, the more people you have to strengthen you, to hold on when you're weak, but they can hold on to you. You don't go flying all over the place. You know, if you have a chain, I prefer to pull with a chain. But the chain will snap at its weakest link and separate. But a rope, unless you just really seriously overstress that rope, you're not going to pop it. You might pop one strand, but you have the others to hold it. You know, years ago, I cut down this gigantic tree. It was 33 inches across. I had a 20-inch chainsaw. And it was right by a road, and Matt was working on the farm that I was cutting it down at. It was right by the road, and across the road was the power lines. And the tree had always grown to where that was the way it was going to fall. I tried to figure out, how am I going to get this stupid tree down? I went and bought 350 feet of rope. Great big rope, that big around. I climbed up in that tree about 8 feet, got Matt with a tractor. There's a little trick you can figure out about where a tree's going to fall with an axe. And I said, all right. Drew my line in the field. I said, you got to be beyond this point. And, you know, kept up. When you get to pulling, because you know what happens when you pull on a tree? It wants to go the other way. And it kept coming back. And I could watch Matt and all on that tractor. And that tractor just gets dragged back, 8,000 pounds getting pulled back by this tree. So it was huge. But when I kept cutting, and I said, Matt, you just give it all, what for? Just keep going until it's down. I kept cutting and kept cutting, and that tree finally broke. But the rope did not, because all of those strands were locked together, and they were all pulling. See, that's the way we have to be. We all have to be locked together and strengthening each other. Not just, well, it's just me. Here I am. I'm out here all alone. I'm your Lone Ranger, God. God doesn't need Lone Rangers. If he needed a Lone Ranger, Jesus could have done it all by himself. But he needed 12 disciples. And one of them turned out to be a devil. Got replaced. And they turned the world upside down. So as you're praying, ask God to help you sow good seed. You may need to curse some bad seed. Tell it to die. You don't want the harvest from that seed. They don't need to harvest from that seed. Repentance from that seed is what will kill it. And then deal with why you sowed the bad seed to begin with. All right, let's stand. Now, I hope I didn't freak anybody out by telling you, that everybody's just people watching you. Even when you don't think they are, there's people that watch you. How did they handle this? What are they doing? They're watching you, just like you're watching me. And you don't have to be Billy Graham, because maybe you're the person who sowed the seed into Billy Graham. Maybe there's another. The Bible says that before Jesus returns, the spirit of Elijah will come. Elijah was trying to turn people's hearts back to God. And I feel it rising up in this world right now. You want to pray for revival? Pray for the revival of people getting saved. I'm done with fake revivals. You know, let's stir the pot. Oh yeah, see, it's not as dead looking as it was. It still stinks to high heaven. A cesspool is a cesspool. Let God free to love people through you. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we are just so appreciative of your mercy and your grace, Lord. Father, for how you use us to bring life into this planet. Lord, we pray right now that you put a watch over our tongues. A watch over our thoughts, Father, for our thoughts become our words and our words become the seed. Father, over our actions. Father, it doesn't mean we might not get angry from time to time, but it does mean we had better be very careful with that anger. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling right now with all the bad seed that's been sown into their lives, Father, the thorns, the thistles. Lord, the things that are choking out the good seeds, Lord, I curse them right now, Father, in Jesus' name. We speak life to the good seed, death to the bad. Lord, may they realize the things that they are harboring. Maybe they realize the things that they are nurturing that are not good. Father, and they stop it. Father, and as they do, Lord, I pray that they can notably sense your love, your spirit dwelling within them even more. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I speak life into their week. Love into their week. Father, may everywhere they go, they walk in your presence and in your love. Father, bring about the promises in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.